You taught me a long time ago. You told me, tell me, show me, involve me. And that's how you learn it.
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad. Hey guys, and welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. My name is Zachary, I'm your host. And tonight is a special night, a little bit different and unique. And one cool thing is we've crossed that 1,000 download milestone, and it's been a lot of fun having a lot of these conversations. And one of the questions that I've gotten from both from friends and people who are listening and some folks that I don't know is what's some of your story? What's some of your skilled dad story? And apropos to, that's a big word, apropos.
You can't spell it.
So tonight or today, whenever you're listening, I'm actually sitting down with my own dad on this podcast. I've really appreciated when he's listened to the episodes and then he's, you know, calling out the things he like. I said, you know what? We're celebrating 1,000 downloads. We're bringing this thing out. He and I have been working on the Treehouse Studio, which is in progress. We're in a part of that right now. But tonight I've got Greg Reeser, my dad, a skilled dad in many ways, and we're just going to see where this one goes. I've sat down with a lot of guys, but not necessarily sat down with my dad. So welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast.
Well, I'm glad to be here. This is awesome. And congratulations on 1,000 downloads. I mean, it's 1,000 downloads.
It is 1,000 downloads. It's, you know,
it's a start. It's a great start. I mean, it's like, boom.
It's been fun. And the stories that have come out of it have been honestly, the most fun part.
Right.
And the conversations that I get to have. And we're just doing this thing to help other people. Right. But I can't say that I'm not getting a lot out of it myself. And we're just going to keep going.
Exactly.
We're going to keep going. So welcome again to the podcast. Thanks for sitting down with me in an official capacity. You've got your skilled dad hat on.
Got my skilled dad hat. I haven't had a shower in 3 days because I tore it out.
That's true.
And I switched gears and I'm building a new bed because it was in my way. Couldn't get my drywall through to make my new shower.
Yeah. So you're renovating your downstairs in your house right now.
Yep.
You've always got a project rolling.
I always got 12.
That's true.
I make a list of 12 and I do which one I want to do because I found out a long time ago that if you like doing what you're doing, you kill it. I mean, you love it. So 2 weeks and 10 minutes. Think about it for 2 weeks and take you 10 minutes. And then all that, you know, why you're worried about not doing it for 2 weeks. You know, if you get old enough like me, you just put it on there and then check it off when you're done.
When you say 2 weeks and 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
I mean, you think about what you're going to do. I came up with the idea last night that I'm not going to have a shower in my rain room. I'm going to have a rain room.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, water goes downhill. That's pretty easy. Right, I'm going to put a new tile floor and walls and all that stuff, whatever. Just slope it. You don't need much fall to get where you're going when you're water.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that... it's true.
Be water.
I'm excited to see how the rain room turns out because... So you've got a gift of creativity.
It's going to be huge.
It is a big room. It's a big room. I like the 2 weeks and 10 minutes thing. Are you saying you're planning it in your head for 2 weeks and then it takes about 10 minutes to do, or you think about something for 2 weeks, when it really could be handled in 10 minutes and be done? Or am I overthinking this?
Well, you know, my business, and it's called, you know, I don't plug myself, but
you can plug yourself
in custom resources. And I'm basically, I found myself being a custom resource that, hey, I want this. I can't buy it. Can't get it here. It takes a million days to get it off the boat. Can you make me one? I say, let me think about that.
For two
I get
weeks.
Their pictures in 2 weeks. Yeah. Put out a price and do it in 10 minutes. It's a metaphor, but it usually takes more than 10 minutes, but there's a lot of 10 minutes in 2 weeks too.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a nice metaphor there, which is, I find myself often thinking about something for 2 weeks and it really does take 10 minutes to get this thing done. It may not be 2 weeks, but it's
probably the thing you don't want to do. See,
well, exactly.
Yeah, you got, I'm not going to do that. Oh, man, I can't. Oh,
it's going to be so hard.
I had a smoke out. I had Cheech and Chong in my garage last time you were here. And I just need to drain the oil. And I haven't done it yet. It'll take me 10 minutes.
Are you talking about your mower?
Yeah, my mower. I had a smoke out. I mean, I lit that thing up. It died every time I started. And I thought, well, this is all right. This is all right. This is all right. Maybe it doesn't have enough oil in it. So I put some oil in it. Checked the dipstick, nothing showed. Put some more oil in it. Obviously, it was running down there slowly because when I got done putting the next batch in, I had too much in. I had a smoke show. Oh, God, I had to leave the building. I was just trying to get it run long enough to get it out of the building because it was smoke on the water. You know, it was crazy.
So before the recording with PJ.
That day.
Before the recording, we did a little sound check. And that's one of the things that when we're sitting down, we're like, yeah, that was fun. And it was like smoke on the water, fire in the gas, I think is what we said. But that was like, let's just sit down and talk.
Yeah, why not? You know,
we've spent a lot of time recently out. And this is one of the things I'm appreciative of you among many things. I'd love to dive into like, some of your growing up and where you've learned some things. But when we talk about skills and skilled on this podcast up to this point, there's been a lot of soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some very tactical things to apply in parenting and being a dad. But there's also the element of the hard skills. And you're a people person.
I guess I am.
Know many strangers. But you've also got, part of the reason I've been out here a lot lately, we've been fixing cars. We've just gone through this string of...
We put an axle in your car the other night.
Yeah, so...
4 days ago.
Yeah, quick context on that. I get some new tires on my vehicle. I'm driving down the highway, and I guess it's like 4 days later. Where I got my tires changed, I will not share. But let's just say they weren't tightened all the way. And
wobbly.
I had a little wobble, about lost a tire. And then, you know, so I get it towed out here where you've got some resources and a place to, you got a little shop. I mean,
we got all the tools we need. And
we found tools we were looking for 2 weeks or a year.
I found the best tool. I found a razor blade holder that, man, I killed it this week with it. And it's probably a 45-year-old tool. And I was like, what's that? And where'd that come from? We got 6 toolboxes in there.
Yeah.
Just chock full of my grandpa's tools, my dad's tools, tools.
That's what I'd love to get into that. But we get out here and it was one of the lug nut studs busted because it was wobbling so much. So we got here. You were kind enough to go out and give me a new lug nut stud while I'm getting towed in.
Yeah, I showed you how to put it on.
And you did. I got a great shot of my nice work shoes and, you know, my actual grease hands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're like, well, hey, we're changing this right now. Why don't we go ahead and change this axle out too? Because the CV joint had kind of looked like something was going on with it. So why not? So being able to do it, I've learned a lot, right? Not a lot of guys necessarily have that opportunity to get in and dive in. And
it was $1,000 job we did for $100.
Even better.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Well, it's that, but I also can teach my own kids and also know what the heck's going on.
Right. Now you know how to do it.
Right. So getting hands on and it's great, great picture. I salvaged the shoes, but side note, this is why you guys and gals, whoever's listening, This is why you should always have a go bag in your car for that scenario of when I might need another pair of jeans or shoes or whatever. But so you've got a lot of tools you're talking about, your dad's, your grandpa. If you don't mind sharing with those that don't know, just give us a little bit about your story and your experience, where you learned some of those things growing up.
I grew up
in dad's story.
I grew up a farmer, and I was always going to be a farmer from Illinois. And I grew up in a shop, kind of like mine, only bigger. You can't see that, on the radio, but,
Communicative speakers with hands. That's okay. We'll move it up a little.
But I grew up in a shop. My grandpa was a, my grandpa Peterson was a genius in so many ways. And he was my mentor. My dad was my mentor. And we did a lot of things. I mean, I was welding when I was like 7.
Hmm.
And I still suck at it sometimes. But but that's, then you adjust. You kind of go back to what you know. Okay, I haven't done this for a while. Boom. Kill it. I don't like the grind. Sparks are fun and everything, 4th of July, but...
You don't like the grind, or you don't like to grind?
To grind.
You're bad welding jobs.
Yeah, if you weld good, you don't have to grind so much. The good weld is the part of the non-grinding part. Yeah, and back when you were a kid, I owned a gas station.
Yep.
Came off the farm. We were big farmers, and being a big farmer back then was not a good thing, because everything was going south. If you got 10 pigs and they're, they cost $30 to feed and you're paying 35, eventually you're going to probably run out of something.
Good margin.
Yeah. So then we had grandpa's tractor. You rode when you were 5 years old to my gas station.
Yep.
And you'd pump gas and give full service at 5 years old.
Yeah. Remember that.
People look at me like sideways. And then I had an opportunity, and then that all kind of went south. One thing I could have done things different, of course. Would have been a great house. I was a city councilman. Stood up for the people because everybody wanted to go to executive session. I said, hell, everybody's here. Let's just have a vote. And everybody went, whoa, crazy. And I was 28 years old and driving a truck and got to go all over the country. Doing that, they flew me to New York, train drivers. They flew me to L.A. right after the riots in
as early 90s.
South Central,
right.
91, 92. And I thought, well, that'd be great. Let's go to California. Cool. And got out there, and I wasn't training drivers. They didn't have any drivers. They all saw the guy get jacked out of that semi and beat the crap out of him. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really want to do that, so they fly me in from Gridley, Illinois, Chenoa, Illinois. I'm naive enough to say, okay, cool, that sounds good. Let's go. I spent 2 weeks out there. I went to a Dodger game, went to San Francisco twice, Lake Tahoe, all over in a semi, delivering food to restaurants, whatever. Came back here, got a call. I was so sick of being gone and being off the road. Got a call from my uncle in here in Tennessee, and his best friend was Alan Jackson. This was the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
First guy I met in Tennessee other than my uncle was Alan Jackson. Sounds like a lie, .com. But so my uncle was here, had a big body shop, and I was in Cool Springs and right across from the biggest mall in Tennessee back then. And there was nothing around. And long story short, I moved down here with the intent that I was going to get a setup, and your mom and you guys, you and Luke, you were 9, Luke was 4, we're going to come here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, long story short, a year later, I came back and forth a lot. We did a lot of stuff. Did the best I could as a dad to try to be a dad. And still I have a dream. And still, do what you got to do. And there's a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the River House, the Green Hills, the president of a record company in L.A.
Done a few things.
I've been there, done that, got the hat, the t-shirt. and a lot of pictures. But all my friends say, oh, this guy will tell you all this stuff, and then he'll show you pictures. Sounds like a lie, right? Well, it does. And that's why I'm sporting a, you know, I probably look pretty sporty right now. I got a 3-day beard and working on building my shower room.
Building the shower. Well, it's the entrepreneur.
In the treehouse that we started 11 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. There is a bigger story to the treehouse. I think that'd be a good one to cover at some point. But yeah. When you go back to the growing up piece and your grandfather teaching you those things, I mean, welding class, I could be way wrong, but shop class, I don't know that there really is. I know there's not much of it. I don't even know if they still have that. I'm sure someone's saying, oh yeah, we got it here.
You gotta arm yourself with stuff like that.
But the resources to be able to do that aren't necessarily there. There's trade schools kind of coming back, which is good, but you were able to learn those things. When you go back to that small Illinois town growing up, and you were in the mix and learned a lot of those skills, was that coming from your dad, my grandpa, or was that coming from your grandpa? Like, who, because out of the family, you're probably the most tactile or, you know, mechanically inclined. You seem to take a lot from that. Who taught you that?
It was probably, I played football, basketball, and I was in this, my class was 42, my graduating class. All right. So I knew everybody. I was quarterback. I was whatever, all state and this and that, whatever. But I didn't play baseball, but I was good baseball. The only reason I didn't play baseball is because when I was in eighth grade, it was 4-3 and I was a bat, two guys on. I hit a ball over the fence, except it was a snow fence. And dude was, you know.
What's a snow fence for anyone?
It's like a, when you'll see along, along the highway, you'll see these red picket fences with the wire in between. And then make the snow drift and not come on the highway, right? That's what our outfield was. Dude reaches up, catches it over the fence.
Did he just step on it and like make it fall over?
It was kind of illegal. If you had a replay, I'd just throw a red flag. But, and after that, I was like, man, this sucked. And it was heartbreak. I mean, I was like, no. And I also played football in Lexington when I was seventh grade. Coach comes on in eighth grade and says, you're either playing football in Lexington or baseball here. And I always like football.
Mm-hmm.
And Lexington and Chenoa were like killer rivals.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew all the guys I was playing with because I'd played with them, which is good.
Yeah.
I know he can't go left, you know, he can't go right, you know, whatever.
You know their strengths, weaknesses.
Yeah. I knew them and they knew mine.
Yeah.
And we'd crack heads all the time. But I was very blessed. I was homecoming king and all this stuff and senior class president. And I was just a jag-off, for lack of a better word. But I had motorcycles. I had built my first car, Grandpa's 46 Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a car from a friend of mine that was unfortunate enough to wreck his 70. Oh, God, it makes me sick now. 70 Firebird.
Mm.
I bought it from $200. I took the motor and the transmission out, put it in a 46 Chevy. Well, that comes back from me learning how to weld when I was 7.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hot rod. Then I bought a 389 with a six pack, put that in there. And then I watched it burn in a shop fire.
Hmm.
We had a shop fire. Brother Todd were putting cultivators away, coming down the road, and I helped him back it in, taught him how to. The cultivator's wider than the door. So you had to get your one corner in and then swing.
What is a cultivator?
It's a row crop machine where you cultivate, which aerates your soil, and then kills the weeds in between the rows.
Got it.
And I also became an organic farmer back in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a soil scientist, an animal scientist. That's what I took in college. And all that stuff.
That small town life, and then also growing up on a farm.
His work ethic is what you had to have.
It's different.
We shelled corn every year since I was 5 years old.
One, you talked about the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Across from the gas station was, I don't even know.
Caddy Corner.
I was going to say it's on the
Bob's Caddy Corner. Caddy Corner.
Yeah, it's a red building, right?
And I'm taking shake of the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really was.
I remember going in there with you early in the mornings and talking to all the older farmers that were there. And I have some vivid memories of that. And in some ways, I just love talking to people, meeting new people.
Right.
You know, and that's one of those things that I think helped start that. And I've looked to emulate that. And we're not in a small town. I mean, it's quote unquote small town.
People are all the same though.
But people are safe. But I look for the small town opportunities for my kids to be able to do that and expand out so they can gain that skill set to understand like how to approach people.
A lot of people from here though are from a small town somewhere.
True.
And a lot of them are a little timid because it's such a hustle and bustle, rustle place.
Mm.
But as soon as you ask them a question with sincerity, they will just unload on you and you'll compare notes and do all this and all that. Most people will. And that's the situations I like to put myself into. And if it's not going to work out like that, well, you know, hey, have a nice day. I got to go. Right. Otherwise, yeah, pick your fights, right?
Everyone has a bad day.
Pick your tools, you know?
Yeah.
Normally I have my headphones on and my head down and doing some project that I shouldn't be able to do.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I'm done with that. Now what am I going to do? Go get your list. Add two more. You just knock one off. You're going to be bored here in a minute. I got stuff half done everywhere around here. That's all right.
Well, it gives you, you know, you're not going to not be busy. But
no,
you'll never be bored.
Idleness is the devil's workshop. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Just keep on doing something.
Yeah.
And I need to go back and forward at the same time. I always had this thing. I was born with a cleft lip.
Hmm.
Joaquin Phoenix made it look cool. had surgery when I was 2 years old. Couldn't suckle, all right? Because my lip was messed up. My nose was kind of, I don't even know what they did. But I was fortunate enough that my mom and dad could take me to Chicago. And I went up there and I wasn't supposed to survive.
Hmm.
2 weeks later, I was 15 pounds. They put me on cereal because they had to beef me up. I'm 6'4", 220 pounds now.
Right.
Well, thank you very much. But
I don't think
I always had a stigma with that. And I went back in when I was 10, so that would have been 1971. And I was in a room with a Puerto Rican that wanted to fight and another kid. We became great friends. I was there for 10 days up in Chicago all by myself. And it was an amazing experience. We'd have wheelchair races and all this stuff. But the one thing that really formed me the most, it's probably, you never heard this.
Mm-mm.
There was a little kid. I was 10. He was probably 7. He had been in a house fire and he was next door to me. And I learned a lot that day. I was like, oh man, that's, I got it bad. And he's got it. Oh, not good. I went over there and sat with him every day and he calmed down and I'd talk and he couldn't talk. I mean, I think he died, but he calmed down and I just thought, man, I got it made compared to other people. And if you get in your own cocoon where you can't see that part, you're probably cheating yourself a little bit. You know, leave me alone with your problems. Well, everybody's got something.
Yeah.
Everybody's got something. And usually it can all be worked out. I guess my biggest tool in my bag is my faith. Everything's going to be just fine. You just got to roll through. That'd be my number one thing is have your faith that everything's going to be just fine.
Number one tool in the bag.
Might take 2 weeks.
Keep the faith.
Might take 2 weeks and 10 minutes.
And how old were you when you said you were in the hospital with
the second time?
That young man?
10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
And I had a girl another girl that was down the hall. I was in Chicago. I'm in this big hospital, St. Luke's, I think it was, maybe. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Our son, your brother, my son, Luke, great guy. I think that's where it was. But I was some kid from Roll Route 2 in Chicago. And this kid that wanted to fight with me, I said, come on, you want to fight? Like, come on. And he was just mad at the world.
Yeah.
But we became really good friends. I really wish I had a way, and they probably didn't keep that good records to know where he's at. And who knows where he's at? He's in Chicago or wherever. But always had that ability to be the calmer head. And as you know, my life hasn't been calm. It's always been turbulent. Mm-hmm. I consider it 2 weeks and 10 minutes. I'm a roller coaster. And I figured out that when you're in a hole and think you can't get out, it takes faith to dig. Dig enough to build a ladder to climb out of there. But that brings me up to something I thought about today. Back when I was doing the River House, I bought a 4-car garage on the Harpeth River in Franklin, Tennessee. I was fishing with Luke one day on the river, and some guy says, hey, call Natchez. I went, well, I hear Natchez. He's sitting on a bridge abutment. Yeah, I didn't know where I was at. We were just going fishing. And so I call Natchez, and the old boy says, throw a rock. It's a big yellow lab. Okay. Natchez, remember Natchez?
Yeah.
It's a cool dog. And I said, well, throw a rock. I'm going to stand in the middle of the river. We're wade fishing. Yeah, throw a rock. Oh, Mr. Phipps says, throw a rock. And I threw a rock for this dog, and this dog went and got it and brought it back to me. Same rock. I recognize the rock. I'm like, dude, that's you're supposed to be a duck hunter.
With a rock.
Yeah, he's a rock hunter. He's a duck hunter. But anyway, we were getting ready to leave, and then things that change your life real fast. Luke and I said goodbye. We talked to Mr. Phipps. John Phipps was his name. He was 70, 80 years old. And he was up on a bridge abutment. It used to be the oldest, I think I got a picture, it's in the house, of the oldest covered bridge in Tennessee.
Hmm.
Got washed away in 1943 by a flood. So I had a garage there. I had a vision. Me, Luke, and I said, hey, Luke, let's go back and talk to that old boy, that old man. Because there was a for sale sign on the property. And, all right. So we went back and talked to him. Great guy. Ended up buying it. Turned into a 3,100 square foot house. It wasn't finished. And I was stressed out. Took a year off to do it by myself. And you guys come and help me. When we had the big heavy stuff, we were doing it. Looked really cool.
Yeah.
Broke as a joke on Christmas. I had to borrow $200 from mom and dad to buy you guys gifts. And got a phone call in Normal, Illinois, at my brother's house, Todd's. My neighbor, he says, we need to talk. I said, what's up? He says, well, I don't think you understand. We want to buy you. I'm like, buy me? I thought they wanted to invest and help me put a roof on the dang thing. No, they wanted to buy me. So I called them up next morning, and I thought about it all night. My sister-in-law, rest her soul, says, boy, that's big time. I said, yeah. So I called them up in the morning. I said, I want $650,000. I thought I was in 2021. Actually, it's probably $2 million now. But this was in 2002 or 2003.
Yeah. Yeah.
I closed right after 9/11. I closed on 9/15/2001. So it'd been 2002. Interesting. Yeah. How it all works out. But then I met Leslie, 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been married since I was married to your mom. 30 years, almost 25.
Yeah.
But I met several nice, beautiful, wonderful people. But Leslie was the kicker. We were just totally opposite. And very much in love.
Mm-hmm.
And she got sick, and her anger would come out and be pointed at me. I told her one day, I said, well, when I met her, she says, you need to stay away from me. And I said, no, you need to run. I said, nah, I ain't going nowhere. And she said, well, I'm going to sell this place. I said, no, you're not. You don't need to sell this place. I just met her.
Yeah.
And I said, give me a little time. I'll make it worth more than it is now. Then you can do whatever you want to do. So we get 2 or 3 years down the road, and I find a tree and build a tree house. And I told her, I want a tree house. She said, okay. I said, all right. So I drew this tree house looking out the window when I found this tree around this clearing brush. And built this thing up. We had a blast. We had tree house jams. We had musicians, all the best in Nashville, come out here and just do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just, it'd give me a reason to clean everything up and kind of compile my mess of my 12 projects going at one time. But everybody always had a blast out here. And she got sick the last 4 years. I pretty much just took care of her.
Yeah.
Which kind of threw me back into save mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold my business to my brother and sister, who I work for now. It's a funny full circle.
Yeah.
But I had to do what I had to do. And I held her hand when she died. And, yeah.
And that's some of the story of the treehouse. That's the treehouse. And over the last few years, like you said, you're helping take care of her.
Right.
And so the treehouse didn't get a lot of love. So actually getting back into and restoring the treehouse has been a little bit more of kind of a restorative process.
Right.
In general, which makes it fun, but it also, I think, is kind of a good healing thing.
Right.
So
I'm totally blowing the house out, you know.
You're just kind of getting it, you're refreshing some things.
Yeah, hitting the refresh button and just kind of,
yeah.
Even though it's a lot of work, but it's not really work because it's on my list, and if that's what I want to do, that's what I want to do, and, yeah. You know.
Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got some stuff going on.
Yeah,
you know,
lot of them.
And if they're listening to this, good chance got some kiddos, right?
Right.
And learning the different things along the way. And that's, thanks for sharing.
Oh, yeah.
Your story.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't,
I didn't know
what I was saying to young dads like yourself is enjoy where you're at because it really doesn't change. Grab all the goods you can on the way because you're probably going to need them down the road in order to get to the place where you can make the list. And do the list. Number one tool is faith. Number two tool is don't worry if you mess the first three of them up. Because the fourth one will take you 2 weeks and 10 minutes. It is done. Not here. Kill it.
The project or the kids?
Well, the kids will take forever.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 weeks, they're not very old when they're 2 weeks old. You know. Yeah, it embrace, you know. I mean, you got stuff hitting you in the face all the time. Lose my job, do this, do that. Hey, cool. Embrace it.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be just fine.
Yeah. You got to keep working, though, towards it. You can't give in.
No, you can't stop.
Yeah.
You can stop intermittently and catch your breath.
Yeah.
You have to. You'll just choke out and you'll be laying on the floor, kicking your leg in there. But... you know, take care of yourself and in the ways you know you. The only one that really knows you is you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know me, and I'm not perfect. And I do all this stuff. I'm kicking myself all the time.
Yeah.
Why'd you do this? Why didn't you do that? Well, and then I realize, all in good time, I will do that. Sounds like a pipe dream. All right. And then if it goes... Oh, sorry. I'm talking with my hands again. Wake up, everybody.
Yeah.
Knock, knock, knock. And just be patient. Faith and patience and a good electric power drill.
And I want to talk about that. But it's
a kit.
Faith, patience, and hard work, I think, are three good ingredients for resiliency. At least that's, you know, in many cases, that's what I've seen. From you in many ways when you got different circumstances or, you know, we made one decision, didn't turn out the way we thought it would go. Right. And then, but kind of that whole keep on keeping on thing.
It probably led to something else, though, in the meantime.
Yeah.
While the rain is going south, you were probably finding the bus going east, you know?
Yeah.
Or north, whatever.
It does lead, there is a path somewhere.
Failure leads to winning, I mean, eventually.
Yeah.
So that's the faith and the patience to know that, oh, man, that didn't work out so good. But it was fun while we did it, you know? And you say it all the time, what do you take from this? And, you know, what you may take something from this podcast.
Sure.
Okay. Well, that's your life. You got to, while you're circling the drain, what are you taking from it?
Yeah. There's always something to learn in the circumstance.
Yeah. I'm kind of a Tesla wave. It will go like up and down, like alternating current. Well, that's kind of everybody's life. And
Tesla. No, Tesla way.
Nikola Tesla. Yeah, the genius.
Just call that one out. People can't see us.
Right. That's true.
Magic hands over there.
Not the S type. Can't hear him coming. Be careful. but the wave of an alternating current is your life. And if you get to the top, it's a 369 thing. You get to the top and you start heading down. I always said I try to speed up when I'm on my way down because then I bounce higher. And that's what's happened in my life. And I've had things recently that I felt like, man, I'm just going down. This sucks. But I tried to speed it up. And then you get to the bounce part. And then you're like your energy is this, it's energy. You're all right, let's go. We got this big hill to climb because we bounce pretty hard. We got to go higher. And then, you know, you're going to hit the top.
Yeah.
But you still got your skill. You still got your tool bag in your back pocket. So on your way down, you know.
Don't give up.
Never
give up.
Never.
Still Winston Churchill element.
Never quits.
Well, I do want to take advantage of this opportunity with the man of a million tools.
Mm-hmm.
And when we lived in Colorado, we're talking about the 2 weeks and 10 minutes thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
We had a deck that they had put, they had put a product on, okay, on it, and they didn't take care of it. And they put it on the wooden deck and water got saturated underneath and it just got nasty. So we're like, we want to expand out on this deck and kind of rebuild a portion of it, do this. You came in for a weekend and Mark Hamilton, who was on one of the earlier episodes,
me and Mark, did it.
Yeah. We're like, well, why don't we just build it? And so we just built it.
Yeah. Loaded your Explorer out, man.
Well, yeah, it was great. We just loaded it up. And that's when I quickly realized that I did not have the right tools on hand at the time.
Now you do.
And well, now I've accumulated because I've learned. Mm-hmm. So here's a question I would have for you for, whether somebody that's my age and they're upper 30s now, but someone that's my age or someone just starting out, regardless of if you live in a small town with a machine shop, you probably got some different resources. If you're in an apartment or you own a house, whatever, what are 10 tools?
10 tools.
Or five, I don't, whatever, but like something that someone should have in their toolbox along with that faith.
Okay. You should probably have a hammer. I always lost my hammer and I got 7 or 8 of them and I'd have to buy the one out of the pink box from, you know, whoever had the pink box. a pair of pliers, some baling wire. That was where I was always taught, baling wire and pliers. I could get the tractor out of the field. And that's kind of how I learned when I was, you know, whatever. And you could usually, I'm MacGyver. They call me MacGyver because I can usually get you home somehow.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah. We get home. We don't know how. We don't know when. Hang on. Let's do this and try this. And this might not work. This might work. But we'll get home.
Yeah.
Don't call the hook just now. And you got some of that the other night. You called me and said, hey, man, my stuff's not going right. I said, well, I don't know an axle to do that. But
yeah,
stop, you know. You get out and check your lug nuts. They're loose. One broke off. All right, cool. So going back to the tools, a power drill. I bought the Ryobi kit and they're so cheap and they'll make you feel like a man. I mean, buy a box of bits, you know, they sell them all the time and I lose all of them. I got 27 box of bits and one good one with three of them missing.
But let me, on the power drill thing.
Yeah.
I've gone through a couple of power drills because, you know, you get the first power drill set.
Right.
Power drill set. Jeez.
I've been through the big heavy ones. And
yeah. When we were building houses and stuff during high school and all that, we were using a lot of, and for anyone listening, we're not sponsored by anybody.
Right.
Like, you do what you want to do with who you like. DeWalt is who we use a lot of DeWalt.
Right.
Which was good.
They were the new, they were the first ones, really.
Yeah. But now there's quite a bit. I have some rigid.
But they're heavy. Set.
They are heavy. Regardless, the drill can make a difference. So, like, going and just buying a power drill, for those that don't know, give a quick rundown on, and I think there's opportunity to do something on this. And there's a lot of different things on YouTube. And
right.
Maybe we'll add to it, but the voltage can matter.
The voltage matters a lot and the battery strength. But what I've recently done is I've looked at selection and price because, you know, I break them or lose them or leave them somewhere. I bought all Ryobis because Home Depot carries them all. I even bought a stapler. Yeah, I do upholstery and reupholstery and, you know, make whatever.
That's the family business you're talking about. Yeah. That your dad started when he moved to Tennessee.
Cold Springs Upholstery. Yeah, it's great. My brother and sister own it now because I sold my share to them back in the, when we were talking about. And
my second job, this is a sidebar, but
yeah,
my first job was driving to the gas station, pumping gas and getting to know people.
Right.
My first job was actually in a bridal shop. So now everyone knows my secret.
Country lace.
Yep. Grandma paid me penny for every pin and sequin that I found. And then but the third job I had was my first customer service job, which was answering the phone at Cool Springs Upholstery when I was like 10.
Right.
And then delivering furniture.
Right.
27 to 30, however many years later.
Lots of furniture too. That's crazy.
27 years, 28 years later. That business is booming.
That's what I learned from my dad. We went from farmer 2,700 acres having to file bankruptcy because stuff just didn't go right during the grain embargo and the price and all the interest and the stuff. Been there, done that. Dad was 54. I'm 60 now. He's 54, come down here a month after I did. I lived with him and another guy named Jim Sanders from Illinois. And we worked at the body shop. And my uncle ran it, the friend of Alan Jackson, my partner in the music business too. And we raced cars. We did all kinds of fun stuff. And got to know all the stars because we raced for Brooks and Dunn Metal Rodeo. And that was a blast. I was a mechanic.
But
yeah, but you know, my old man comes down here, right? He's 80 now, gonna be 81 in December. And grandma sold her bridal shop. They came down here to start all over. And my uncle says, well, Jim, I don't think, that's my dad's name, I don't think we have enough room in this body shop. Why don't you start an upholstery shop? And dad started this business. They were so excited when they got their first couch. I did two couches today. That are getting shipped to Cabo. I did the prep work and the fix-up work, and then my upholsterer, he upholstered them, and, you know, never quit.
Yeah.
Have faith and have patience and
work hard.
Work hard.
Faith, patience, and work hard.
Yeah, work very hard. I mean, and play hard. You got to play hard, too.
You do.
Don't allow that.
Got to have some of that. So we got a hammer. Good.
Got a hammer.
A pink one.
We need a hammer.
Pliers, are these regular pliers, needle nose pliers? What are you suggesting here?
I would have probably the random pack with the side cutters and cut wire with pliers, just for general. You got to have a pair of pliers and a needle nose,
multi pack of pliers.
Yep, and a crescent wrench. You need an American metric wrench,
drill, and a crescent wrench. Now we're on the crescent wrench. Okay,
if you don't know what a crescent wrench is or American metric tool, it's that adjustable wrench that is metric or SAE.
Yep.
And it, you know, socket set. Things have changed a lot. It's more screw oriented now than nuts and bolts.
Yep. I'm going to throw one more in there.
Yeah.
Tape measure.
A tape measure is good.
You know, I mean,
learn how to read. This is a, I could run a class, I think, because things have changed so much. I could run a class on how to read a tape measure. I built a 10,000 square foot house for my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, I said, all right, what's that measurement? He said, it's 117 and a little bit. And I'm like, okay, a little bit. Now define that. Two little marks. I'm like, you mean the really little marks? That's an eighth of an inch. Okay.
Yeah.
Learn your fractions. Learn how to read a tape measure.
Yeah.
Because a little is a lot. If it's too big, it won't fit. If it's too small, it just looks stupid.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of custom installs and stuff, and it's down to the, it's good, looks good, or you missed that one, buddy.
An eighth of an inch can be out of tolerance with a lot of things, and it can mess you up quite a bit.
And miss it by that much.
Maybe there's something we can throw on to help some guys out that just, if you don't use it, you don't know.
Right, right. You don't.
Right? It's not like, if you don't use it, you don't know. Same with, you know, it takes some practice to screw well with a drill.
Oh, it does. It does. And you're going to probably hurt yourself a couple of times. I had as a matter of fact, I'm probably the most experienced guy in the picture right now. There and then I was breaking out concrete that I just poured because I had to move my toilet in my new rain room.
Right.
Had to move it like 6 inches. Made a big difference. And I'm like, oh, I just poured that. I don't really want to break it out. So I drilled it.
Yeah.
And then I started taking a chisel and banging it. Like a masonry chisel, because I found it out in my shop, and ball peen hammer was 80 years old. Start beating on it, and I somehow just missed enough. An eighth of an inch is a big time. I missed it by an eighth of an inch, and I've got this big old blood blister on my hand. And I told the other night when he called me, I said, yeah, didn't even flinch in a pinch. Yeah. I said, that's going to leave a mark. But yeah, it's things you learn, you know, things you didn't think you didn't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, we know it. We're sitting here.
Hey, thanks for sitting down.
Oh, it's beautiful.
With me.
And thank you.
Sharing some of your background and your story. I learned some new things about you that I hadn't learned before.
Out there.
Yeah. But thanks for sitting down.
Thank you for having me. It was awesome.
And I'm looking forward to seeing where this thing goes and continue to help some guys. I do think if anyone's listening and be beneficial to you, I'd love to hear feedback on some of the things you talked about as far as the tools even and
right.
How to measure the welding piece. It's my last bit. And I was talking to a gentleman about welding and I was like, man, that's one of the things I'd like to learn. I don't quite know how to do that.
Right.
Welders makes
do it
bank because there's a shortage. And he's like, hey, I'd like to learn how to weld too. I was like, maybe we should just put together like a group and a little class or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, I joined that. And now every time I sit down with him, he cuts my hair. He's like, hey, when are you going to start the welding class? I'm like, well, give me some time.
Let's do it.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Take 10 minutes.
Teach everything you need to know.
Well, again, thank you, sir. And appreciate it.
Big boots here. Burn through your shoes.
That's right. We'll send out a list for that one,
too. Yeah, we had to break out that. And the other thing is liquid wrench.
Liquid wrench.
And every other night you had a car from New Jersey, right? We had to get the lug nut. We had to get the axle bolt off.
Yep.
I said, let me go over to Grandpa Peterson's oxygen settling tank and we'd bring it over there and we got that sucker hot.
Oh, yeah.
Stuck the impact on there and phew.
That's an advanced level that I don't know someone can have in their apartment.
You're probably not in your apartment, no.
Yeah.
But there's guys that have shops that they rent you a bay. Have you seen that? That was an idea a few years ago. I thought that was cool. Take your car in and work on it somewhere. Dude will rent you a bay.
It is cool.
I don't know what it costs, but it's probably a whole lot cheaper to do it yourself than, you know.
Find a friend
that knows
how to do it and has the tools, or create a community tool chest and share with each other. So.
Right. Well, you taught me a long time ago. You told me, tell me. Show me, involve me, and that's how you learn it.
Yeah, I'll give the full quote to my favorites,
right.
Not mine. I believe it's Benjamin Franklin.
I butchered it.
Tell me and I'll forget. Teach me and I'll remember. Involve me and I'll learn.
There you go. That's perfect.
Doing is learning.
Right.
So that's applicable to work. That's applicable to kids.
Life.
This is life, baby. So,
yeah.
Hey, guys, if you made it to this part, I appreciate you tuning in and listening throughout on a little bit of different podcast episode tonight, sitting down with my dad, hearing some of his stories and some things that I've not heard before. Here's a question I've got for you. If you had your dad on a podcast, what questions would you ask him? And the second part of that, maybe more of a challenge, is if you haven't had a conversation like that for a while, sit down and do it. Sit down and do that while you've got the opportunity and the time, if you're able. If you got some obstacles to overcome to do that, sometimes it just takes stepping out and saying, I want to sit down and have that chat, podcast or not. So we hope that you've taken something away from this conversation. There's a variety of fun tidbits that you can apply to your life on your journey to becoming the skilled dad. If you know somebody you think would benefit from this, please share it with them. We'd love for you to subscribe to this podcast. But again, most importantly, find something that you can take away and apply to your life. If you want to learn more information, you can go to theskilleddad.com and follow us on social at Skilled Dad, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And we're continuing to develop out those resources so that we can equip other men and families to equip a future for success. Thank you for tuning in. We look forward to having you on the next episode. You're listening to The Skilled Dad.